You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me is William Palmer, my amazing co-host and fellow coach with Master Passive Income. And in today's episode, our guests will be talking about how he started from nothing, working as a farmhand to owning two cash-flowing rental properties.
That's right, Charles. And how he used creative financing to get his first deal and how that deal has changed his life's trajectory. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Hey everyone, it's Charles Rose Jr. with Breakthrough Investor, where we help you break through that next level as an investor. And with me always is William Palmer, a great friend of mine, a real estate investor, coach, and my amazing co-host of Breakthrough Investor. William, brother, how wonderful are you doing today?
I am doing great, Charles. I don't know about you. I'm super excited with the weather change. It is warming up. It's awesome. And yeah, and speaking of things being awesome, I am super looking forward to our guest this evening.
Man, I am too, William. This is going to be completely amazing with this guest. And man, this is so good because this guy, I got to meet him in person as well at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, which we're having next week. So by the time we release, I think we're going to release this episode whilst we're at the conference, right?
We are.
Right,
it's going to be released the Friday of,
The Friday of the conference, that's right. So we'll be chilling with this guy. We should have recorded in person, right?
Yeah, we might have to do an update on what he thinks of RubeCon and all the fun we're having.
I know, right? This is going to be so awesome, man. But man, William, this is always kind of personal for me when I get to bring our students on. So for those of you who don't know, William and I, we are coaches at Master Passive Income. And we all work together as a team. We do group coaching all together and help each other out. And then some students are assigned to William directly. Some students are assigned to me directly. And the guy today, he was assigned to me. And he was such an awesome student, William. You know those students who actually listen? He was one of them.
Fantastic. That's always super exciting and really encouraging for us as coaches, because if we're giving them something to do and like really encouraging them, it's encouraging for us if they listen and go forth and do great things. We want to see them succeed, which is why we love coaching so much. So yeah, really looking forward to, you know, Kyle better than I do. Oh, name drop. And so, but yeah, I'm really looking forward to diving into his story.
That's so cool, William. And I love like what we all do. So William does it, me, Dustin, like whenever any one of our students close two or more properties, we bring them on the show because we want them to share their story of how they went through that journey. And, you know, y'all know, you know, for those of you been listening to Breakthrough Investor, like we focus, like we get into the stories to figure out, you know, the struggles, all those things that happen on their journey. And so I'm so glad that we have one of our very own students on the show. And man, he started off in landscaping with no money, a wife and a baby. And man, like he started off from almost nothing, right? And to see where he is right now building wealth is just amazing, William.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he's done some pretty amazing things since then, it sounds like. And yeah, I don't know about you, Charles, but I'd really love to get into his story and how he got started.
Oh, man. Yeah, we definitely got to do so. So please help me welcome to the show, Kyle Lucas. Now, before I say that, I will say he has a longer name than Lucas, but I didn't want to butcher it. So, Kyle, can you say your last name?
Yeah, it's Lukaszewski. Lukaszewski. But, you know, when I'm ordering a pizza, I'm just Kyle Lucas. That's
the I remember, like, you know, too, like, I remember how you always had Kyle Lucas. And so when I saw Lukaszewski send me a message, I thought it was a different Kyle. So... I remember that, man. So it was your fault why I got confused.
Yep, it's my fault.
So Kyle, man. So I know your story. We were talking to William about your story as well. But our audience, they want to know you. Tell us more about your story. How did you get involved in real estate and what made you decide to do it?
Absolutely. So first of all, thank you guys so much for having me on. It's really a dream that's become a reality, and I feel super honored to be potentially coming out right when RoopCon is going on. So super excited about that. Yeah, I kind of went on this personal journey of self-growth and reading, and part of that became, you know, using my commute time as a university on wheels. And I believe I was just on Spotify, just completely random, came across Dustin and Master Passive Income. And, you know, maybe it was because he was talking about the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. Second best time is today. Maybe that connected with me as a landscaper or something. I don't know. But, you know, really, really latched on to the message and just the positive community that has been around it, and the way that he interacted with all of his guests and coaches that he had with him. You just really wanted to be a part of it. You knew that it was, you know, I kind of felt like it was a secret I was getting in on the ground level, but just kind of the same that you hear all the time, binged all the episodes, and, you know, the rubber kind of met the road after I had saved up for a few years. I mean, it took me a couple years to get going. You know, when I first started listening, I was working as a farmhand. I didn't have, that doesn't come with health insurance. It doesn't come with overtime. It doesn't come with unemployment insurance. And then COVID happened and I got a wife and a baby at home, and I'm, you know, got myself, I get sick. I'm in the room, you know, hard to explain to a little toddler why they can't go in and see their dad. And just your brain starts going about, oh man, I really don't have a safety net here. And, you know, I have these people who are depending on me that I love. And yeah, like I said, that's how I got into just, you know, something's got to change, and started, my life really changed. And this is what I try to tell anybody who will listen, like, put 10% of your income back, like they would haul you away to jail if you didn't. That's something that I got from Dustin. It's like, if your health insurance went up to 10%, you'd probably find a way to pay it. And so I just had that mindset and continued to learn, and then listening about the coaching. And I've always, well, not always, but through this, I came to believe that an investment in yourself is the best investment. And so I called and I talked to you, Charles, and I think I signed up that day. I think I was pretty much ready when that happened. And I gotta say that I've done other courses. I think we've even talked about some online coaching courses, and I did pursue those, but the value of having you as a coach, man, and the whole thing, the monthly calls, the success partner, Emmanuel, that I got to meet him and his business partner last year, that was super awesome. And just having that person who's going through the process with you, that's having the same struggles that you're going through, where you're like, man, I don't want to disappoint Charles, right? And he's like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Was I pretty mean when you disappointed me?
Yeah, no, you weren't mad. You were just disappointed, which was even worse.
Man, so I heard you talk about the struggles. Let's really unpack that, because our audience like to hear the juicy details, right? So let's talk about some of your struggles that you overcame to get where you are today.
Yeah. So, I mean, the mindset of being an investor first, that's something that when you don't have your first property yet and you're calling yourself an investor, you kind of, you struggle with the imposter syndrome.
Right.
That's a hard one to overcome.
Yeah,
that is
absolutely. And it's all, you know, it's all internal too. It's not visual to the outside world.
It's so important, though, for that mental change. Like, you have to do that. It's really very necessary.
Yes. It is, William. Did you struggle with that too, William, when you were getting started?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I struggled with that when I became an entrepreneur. And it was like, am I really an entrepreneur? And like, I had to thrust myself into that too. And so, like, just all different kinds of stages of life. And so it was interesting. But I would say real estate was actually particularly hard, because you got to switch that on before you even have your first property, because you have to stay focused.
Right.
That's so true. I love how you mentioned that too, Kyle, because I was looking for the word to describe, you know, overcoming that mindset as I was putting together my presentation for RoopCon. Interestingly, so people hear this, like, this will come out a day after my presentation, but I talked about that And a lot of us struggle. You know, you heard William mention it, and so much of many William students struggle with the same thing, that mindset and the imposter syndrome. That's the word. Thank you. I'm gonna use that on my presentation, imposter syndrome, because that's something I definitely experienced for sure. You know, correct me, you know, William and Kyle, like, you know, if I'm wrong. But one of the things that, you know, I say the three things, I just came up with this recently, the three things that Master Passive Income helped us with is the three M's, I call it. Number one, your mindset, right? Exactly what you say, Kyle, the imposter syndrome, to get over that. And you remember how Dustin always tells us, say, I'm an investor with a side job?
Yes.
That was personally hard for me to say that. Because, you know, I felt like I was lying. I felt like an imposter, right?
So
your mindset is one of those three M's, and I'll say the rest at RubeCon. But yeah, man, that's awesome. So now, how did you overcome the imposter syndrome? Because a lot of people don't even go through it. And first of all, why don't you explain what imposter syndrome is for those who don't know what it is?
Oh boy. So imposter syndrome is when you're acting as something and you're not believing it, and it's typically something that happens early on when you're trying something new. But they say that, you know, the most successful people are comfortable being kind of fumbling around and being not graceful and appearing not graceful, making mistakes. You know, so many people want to avoid mistakes. And that's part of the reason why I pursued coaching too, is I wanted Charles, you know, to be there for me to run things by. Hey, am I thinking about this correctly? What am I missing? But yeah, imposter syndrome is just when you don't yet believe that you deserve to be wherever you are.
Wow. That's good. And so, man, thank you for breaking it out. I love how you explained it. Not believing that you say it again. We're not believing
that you deserve to be where you are.
Not believing that you deserve to be where you are. That's real good. Now, how did you overcome that, man? Because a lot of people don't overcome it.
The only way that I've found is through. You just gotta, like I said, be comfortable stumbling and looking silly sometimes.
Okay.
And learning from your mistakes, and what you were able to help, and the whole community was able, and including William, because William helped me out on the monthly calls that we had as students as well.
Oh, that's awesome to hear, man.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know that, but that's awesome to hear.
Yeah. I might have looked a little bit different. I might have been a little bit more scruffier back then.
Well, that's okay. My hair changes pretty frequently. As true.
Do you notice that? Like, William, like, literally changes his hairstyle very, very often. Literally.
He's really cool work glasses on when we were on one of the calls. I think you had some, like, safety glasses on.
I might have, and probably didn't even realize I was wearing them.
He probably jumped straight from the workshop to the, you know, to his office, you know, where he's on the call.
Yeah, it was totally possible.
We want to take this time to tell you about our real estate investing course that we are giving away completely free. This course has helped countless people become real estate investors, including us. And now is your turn.
That's right, Charles. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, to 33777, and we'll give you the MPI Real Estate Investing Course completely free. And if you got anything out of the show, please share it with at least one other person to help them invest in real estate also. But Kyle, so that's getting over the imposter syndrome. Was there anything else, like any other barrier that you had to break through, like maybe a limiting belief, people around you that were maybe saying you couldn't do it? Like, I know that you had a house that was somehow associated with your brother and your dad, and it wasn't really a good purchase initially. And like, how did your family respond to this kind of stuff when you started getting into real estate?
Oh, and that's the thing, is the people who might tell you that they don't feel like it's a good idea for you, they're the same people who care about you, and they may be coming from a place of true concern, not trying to sabotage or anything like that. My dad, he bought this house and I helped him flip it. It was supposed to be a flip house. It was in, like, I think he bought it in 2006, 2007, somewhere along there. Was planning on only it being a 6-month flip, but we all know how those schedules are subject to change. Ended up being longer than what he had hoped, and kind of got caught with the with the real estate crash of 2008, and he decided to keep it. And a lot of times it was vacant and sometimes it was rented. And when it was rented, it was a sore spot because of this issue or that issue. And he was one of those where I was like, you know, Dad, Ryan, you know, my brother-in-law is going to, you know, he wants to sell it. I'm thinking about buying it and using it as a rental. And he had all sorts of reasons. And I just asked him, I was like, did you vet your renters? Did you run the numbers? You know, did you factor in for vacancy? All those type of things. And I think through that, he agreed that it was a good idea to give it a shot.
Same knowledge is power.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same thing with my wife, and it had to work the first time. That was another thing that I kind of related to on MPI is, you know, my wife is a very conservative person when it comes to finances. And I just through rich dad, poor dad, and all those type of things, it's like this rat race grind. It's a trap. It's a trap. If you look at older folks around you that played by the rules all their life, they had no more control over it than you do. You have more control over your destiny as an entrepreneur than they did at the whim of, you know, whatever their retirement funds decide to, wherever the stock market might be, or, you know, the side job, the 40 hours a week, that's an illusion of security. It's not actual security.
That's so true, man. Wow. So now let's talk about the journey with you getting these properties, because I think that's so important to talk about. Now, tell us how you got the first property. What was that process like?
Yeah, it was an interesting process. So my dad had sold the house to my brother-in-law, but for like contract for deed, and he was making regular payments, but it was never submitted. So the contract was never recorded. So when my brother-in-law was going to move out of the house, I said, hey, you know, I'd like to buy it. And they both saw it as a positive, because we were avoiding having two transactions. So if he were to sell it to somebody else, he would have to file the contract that he had with my brother-in-law and then pay all those fees. And then after that, sell it again. So it really was a good situation for all of us. Not to say that there wasn't tension at times. And just because he's my dad doesn't mean that he didn't get, you know, second and third offers just to make sure that he was getting a good deal for himself as well. But we ran the numbers, and the numbers worked. And I through that process is where I met the property. Well, at that time, he was working for another agency, brokerage, the property manager. I was going to rent it out and manage it myself, but I wanted to get a professional's opinion on what rents would be. And I actually got a couple property managers out there. I got all the inspections, did it all right. But yeah, so ended up going through that. And then there was some rehab to do. It was like $5,000 worth of rehab. And I got it rented out right before RubeCon last year.
Dude, that was so awesome. Wasn't that like a relief and just so amazing to be hanging out with all these other investors and getting that under your belt, man?
Oh, it was a goal. It was definitely peer pressure. I wanted to walk in there saying, hey, I have a profiting rental property.
Doing that and shirking off that imposter syndrome as you walk through the door. Look at that.
Look at me. Yep.
That's awesome.
I love it. So now I remember when you emailed me about property number two. I was so excited to hear that. Like, William and I and Dustin, we all get excited when any of our students, you know, close properties, right?
Right.
And so it's almost like, you know, I don't know if they do it at the hospital around you. At the hospital, you know, around me, like when you have a baby, they ring the bells.
Oh, yeah. They'll play a little thing on the speaker.
I think William does home birth, right?
The last one was, yeah.
Last one's home birth. Yeah. So, you know, they could still ring the bells. Yeah. So I remember seeing that email with the second property. Tell us about that. How did that happen?
Yeah. So I did the 12-month seasoning period so that I could refinance. I got a lower interest rate, and I freed up my original investment plus more. And I told my property manager at that point, I was going to school to become a licensed agent so that I could be a property manager working for his agency. And I think I just found it on Zillow, and yeah, brought another inspector out. It was, it's in Jacksonville, Illinois. The purchase price was $19,500. It's wow.
Now, wait a minute. What year was this?
Earlier this year.
Wow. Yeah. Everybody listen to that. There That's are amazing. Deals to be had.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
And not only that, William, you'll probably appreciate this. I really hoping that I'm able to kind of make my mind up at RubeCon, but it came with an entire half acre lot attached to it.
Okay.
Oh my goodness.
So it's actually two parcels.
What?
Oh, it's already divided.
Yeah, and then the half acre lot is right next to it, and that came with the property.
No way! So you could build something? Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
you got to have William come and build it. William can build us.
Yeah, wheels are turning in my brain.
Oh man! Wow.
So and at closing, it didn't make it onto the contract, so we actually had to reschedule it because I went through and was like, I don't see the other parcel on there.
Oh, that was a good catch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was close. Catch. It was close. But it was an honest mistake, but it did put the close of about a week behind. So
well, that's not too bad in all honesty.
Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing, man. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited for you. This is so cool. So did you run into any issues with that one, or was it pretty smooth sailing with the second one?
The second one was much smoother. The second one I was able to buy directly through the LLC, just like you teach us. We buy the first one in our personal name. When you refinance it, that's when you can refinance it into the entity. And then on my second one, I was able to buy it directly from the LLC, and I got a loan for it. I paid 40% down, and so I've got like a $12,000 loan. I'll have it paid off completely in 3 years. But
oh my goodness!
But I was able to keep that money away for the rehab on it, which is underway right now. It won't be rented by RubeCon, but the rehab should be about 99% done.
Wow, dude, this is you still have a great story to tell. Like when you come in, like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. And what we found a lot of times the first property usually takes a while longer for students, and because they're learning the process and then the right mindset, making sure they're investing in the right area and all that stuff. But usually when it comes to like the second property, a lot of times the second property comes faster. Yeah. At least that's what we've seen, right? And so like, I remember it took me almost a year to get my first property. Believe it or not, it took me almost a year.
Oh, same.
Right, you too, William, right?
Yeah.
I even had to renew my coaching with Dustin. And then I got the second property 2 months after that. It, you know, so it took me a year to get the first one and then 2 months to get the second one.
Yeah, right? It really does move pretty quick once you actually get started.
Absolutely.
Was it one of those where he told you, if you don't buy it, I'll buy it?
Yes, my first one was like that.
Yeah.
That would be amazing if I could hear those words.
Yes.
I laughed because mine was, I think it was only about four blocks away from one of the ones he owned, and I had no idea.
So do y'all use the same PM, William? Do y'all use the same PM?
I think we do, actually. Yeah, we might.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. So I'm curious, Kyle, in mindset, how did this shift into real estate, did it change the trajectory of what you thought you would be doing now? Like if you look back, let's say 3 years ago, 5 years ago, would you foresee yourself doing what you're doing now?
Oh man, I would be hopefully I'd be pretty proud of myself if I met myself from three to 5 years back. You know, it's such a change when you stop worrying about what other people think. You stop worrying. I've never been good at the office politics, but when you're in that scenario, there's no other option. So I've got a touch of ADD, so being able to free myself up to dive into my passions has been, I mean, it's very freeing. very freeing. Yeah.
That's amazing, man. Man, so for our audience out there listening and they're wondering how they can become a breakthrough investor just like you, because you are a breakthrough investor, dude. You are crushing it, man. What advice would you give them to become a breakthrough investor just like yourself, man?
Yeah, save back the 10% of your income. Always invest in yourself. You won't regret coaching. You know, you can do it. Trust me. If I can do it, then you can do it. And I just want to help anybody. I've been blessed to have people who have been farther along in the process be kind enough to me to share their wisdom. And I want to pass that on to whoever is able to listen, whoever is open to listening. And yeah, just keep going at it. Always invest in yourself first. They can't take that away from you, and follow what you want to do. I mean, that's what with the system, it's direct enough to where you could follow it step by step. But you guys talk to so many different investors and different aspects and different roles that someone like me, while most investors, well, you guys teach the handoff approach. You know, if somebody does enjoy the work and wants to help others build their investment portfolio and manage it, you left it open enough for me to kind of see that in myself to say, hey, that's my path.
I love it. I love it, man. And I love how you and so many of our students, y'all have really got the mindset right that, hey, if Dustin can do it, we can do it. If William can do it, we can do it. You know, if Kyle can do it, we can do it. Right. And I love that. I think that's a really great mindset to have, man. So love it, man. What were you saying? I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Oh, no. I said, especially me.
Yeah, you
can do it. Especially you can do it.
Right. That if a farmhand can do it, right.
Yeah.
Farmer boy. I love it, man. So, man, hey, this has been great. And if anyone want to stay in touch with you, Kyle, where can they find you? Like social media or where can they
find
you?
So Kyle Lucas on Facebook, Kyle Lukaszewski on LinkedIn. You can also find me at centralstaterealty.net. Yeah. And congratulations to you on your beautiful baby.
Thank you, man.
I had a chance to say that yet. So
I appreciate it, man. I'm just trying to catch William up, man.
Oh, where are you at now?
We're expecting number four.
Oh,
yeah. So he's way beyond. And it's crazy because I think I had my first one right around the same time. William had his first one. Third one.
Yeah. Third one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So right around the same time. So that's awesome, man. Well, we're super excited to hang out with you at RubeCon, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference in St. Louis this year. And again, you know, as you all are listening to this episode when it's released, we will be hanging out, chatting in St. Louis.
And my managing broker is going to be there too.
No way.
Awesome. Yeah. Bring him down. Yeah. Let's meet him.
He's my guru. So if you end up investing in Central Illinois, I would love to help you out. And everything that I do is going to be kind of ran through him. And we take care of you.
Oh, man. Well, I'm excited to meet him. Yeah. Please let me meet him. Well, this has been awesome, William. William, thank you so much, William, for being awesome. And Kyle, thank you for being extra awesome today. So thank you again. And I'll see you at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference next week.
See you guys. Thank you.